If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll be looking at verse 16 through 20, which is really the first part. Actually, 16 through 33 is really one section. We're going to look here in just that first part of this, and then the next sermon will be on the next section there. But anyway, I'm entitled the sermon, Foolish Facts. Foolish Facts. Let me ask you this question. How much of a fool are you? How much of a fool are you? You say, what do you mean? Well, let me just bear with me. Proverbs 14:9 says, fools make a mock at sin. And fools jest about sin, they sneer at sin, they excuse sin, and they blame others for sin. A fool has no fear of God. Sin is not serious to him, and gives no sober thought. That's what that verse teaches us in Proverbs. So let me ask you, how many of you don't take sin seriously at times? How many of you excuse sin? I know I do. How many of you sometimes blame others for your sin? I've gotten mad at people when I'm going down the road and I blame the other person every time. So my point is, how much of a fool are you at times? Proverbs 28:26 says that he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Have you ever picked your ideal over God's command? Have you ever said, you practiced and lived out that said this, I know what God says, but I'm going to do what I think instead? I have. So the question of, once again, let's go back now. How much of a fool are you? That's the question. This morning we're going to look at three facts concerning foolishness. We're going to look at them in a hope to help you not act like a fool. The context here is pretty simple. Paul is going into great length to defend his apostleship to the point that he has to bring up his credentials, which you'll see that in verse 24. He said, of the Jews, 5 times received our 40 stripes, save one. Like that. That whole section, that's his credentials, which that's next sermon, which is really interesting, because he brags about what he suffers, not what he's accomplished, which is very interesting. We'll talk about that in the next sermon. But he's going to give his credentials. He's going to have to boast about himself. But before doing so, Paul reveals how much boasting is foolish and gives us some insight about fools, which we will glean 3 facts about. We're going to look at the attitude, the awareness, and the aftermath. So let's first look at the attitude. The attitude, do not become a fool. That should be your attitude sitting there today. Your attitude, your approach, should be this. I don't want to act foolish. I don't want to be a fool. You say, well, why is that such a big deal? Because many, especially the younger you are, it seems to be this way, many think it's cool, funny, fun, exciting to be a fool. Many think that they should strive to be a fool, but it's not the truth. The attitude that we should have is that we don't want to be a fool, because we understand what a fool is. So let's look here, and you say, well, where are you getting that from? Well, let's look here in verse 16, and it says, I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. The first thing I want to point out here is Paul's desire. Paul's desire, you see it right there, is that he says to you, I say again. Now, that right there is a reference back to chapter 11 and verse 1. And now, let's read what it says here. It says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly. So, he already knows that he has been defending himself. And I think it was Bruce Lee that says a fool's ideal of glory is bragging about himself or something like that, you know. Paul understands that what fools do, they brag about themselves. And Paul, because he happened to defend himself, is somewhat bragging on himself. So he said in chapter 11, verse 1, he said, bear with me this foolishness. But then here in verse 16, he said, let's read it again. He said, let no man think me a fool. That is Paul's desire. That is Paul's attitude. Paul said, I do not want anybody to think me a fool. There's so many things we desire of people to think about us or not to think about us. Now, you all sitting here have some desire, something that you value, or something you don't value, that you don't want people to think of you. You know, maybe you want people not to think that, that you are, mean. You may want somebody not to think that, you wouldn't help them. You know, we all have desires. We all have things that we strive to be. We want to be a good person. We want to be this and that. But Paul said what's the most important thing to him, or one of the most important things that he said, I don't want people to think that I'm a fool. Paul said this, I don't want to be a fool. Now, here's the attitude that we should have. This should lead us to the action of doing everything not to be a fool. Now, let me ask you, let me say this. Why was Paul so concerned about this? Well, it's because he made a decision. He made a decision to act foolishly, which leads me to my second thing here. Paul's decision. Look with me again there. It says, let no man think me a fool, and otherwise, yet as if he receive me, and I may boast myself a little. See, in verse 16, he says this. He says, and he's so concerned about being labeled as a fool, because he tells us in verse 16, he said, that I may boast a little in myself. Now, I've already said this, but in verse 22 through 29, Paul is going to brag about what he's been through. And he knows he's going to do that. But before he does that, he said, I made a decision to engage in self-praise. He said, that's folly. That's foolishness. Paul knows Proverbs 27:2. Let another man praise thee and not thy own mouth. Paul knows that verse. But Paul made a decision. He said, I'm going to brag on myself in order to defend myself where you will continue to listen to God's truth. But he made that decision. John Phillips said this, moreover, he had an urgent reason for doing so because he had to defend his apostleship, the authority of the Lord's message entrusted to him. Paul didn't want to be considered a fool, but he decided to act foolish for the sake of truth. Now, we're going to tie this all together, so stay with me, okay? I know this part right here is a little more tinchy, but I do want to point out, here's one action of a fool. Boasting about self. Boasting about self. I think in intervention here, the one thing that Paul thinks will make him identify as a fool is bragging about himself. Having all the answers. Knowing everything. Paul said that's one of the evidences of being a fool. Now let's move on and we'll tie it together here. We see Paul's desire. We see Paul's decision. Now look here at Paul's description of a fool. And I know we've all been taught this, and you can find it in basically the New Testament, a simple definition of a fool is someone who has no knowledge of God. That's what I've always been taught, and it is true. You know, you go to some verses, and when Jesus said, you know, thou art a fool, the day you'll perish. But let's just go back to the word here. In verse 16, the word fool there, this is what it means. You ready? Mindless, ignorant, egotistic. Another definition is without reason, want of mental sanity and sobriety. The lack of common sense perception of the reality of things, natural and spiritual, which is what a fool is. They don't have the reality to perceive the spiritual things. John Phillips said it means without reason, devoid of common sense in a matter relating to salvation. So there's more than one definition, really. So let me kind of sum it up. A fool is someone who is ignorant, but speak as they know. A fool is someone who brags about self. That's why Paul is so concerned. A fool is someone who is ignorant, but goes around boasting and glorying and praising themselves. And it's not always a person who says, look at me. Sometimes it's a person who says, we ought to do this. Have you ever been driving down the road and seen some construction, and in less than 10 seconds, you know what the problem is, and you know how to fix it. And then brag about knowing the solution. You never done that, Miss Janet, have you? I have. Have you ever been driving around? They're doing that wrong. I don't know. Why is it taking them so long? They're just lazy. I mean, you mean to tell me in 10 seconds of looking at a distance, you know the solution, and you know what needs to be fixed, and you know how they ought to do it, all in 10 seconds? Man, you're smart. No, you're a fool. You're a fool. You're a fool. A fool don't know, but act like they know. You're a fool. It's not as easy when you get in a stirrup. It's not as easy when you get in a driver's seat as you think it is. I go for anything. I'll be on, okay. I go to Kroger. I can't stand, they put them thing in the aisles. That block, you know, can't get two buggies through it. I was like, why are they doing that? That's just stupid. Maybe it's a requirement. Now, that manager knows what he's doing. Maybe he does. Maybe his higher up said, you got to have so many of these in the aisles. So maybe we don't know as much as we think we do. But we think we do, and we go around barking about it. Happens all the time on Facebook. Whoo! We know the solution. That's my point. That's a description of a fool. If you know the solution so well, why don't you go tell the person in charge? I mean, if you're so confident you know the answer about Kroger, why don't you go talk to the manager today? And when you go by that construction site and you know what needs to be doing, why don't you stop and talk to the foreman? You're not going to because you're just a fool. You're just a fool. You go by somebody and say, well, I don't know why they're doing that way. Well, maybe you don't know everything is. Maybe you don't know as much as you think you do. You see the definition here. Now look at the classification. Verse 17. That which I speak not after the Lord. Now, this is not, just in case you want to know, this is not talking about inspiration, okay? He's talking about the fact that boasting like a fool is not of God. What it meant was that he was not following anything the Lord had done because God never boasted. Acting like a fool isn't what Christ's doing. Think about this. Now what he says, let's go back. Make sure because I don't want you to think I'm just making something up here. Now I speak not after the Lord. So when he talked about boasting and glorying and having all the answers and giving everybody down the road like we do, in person on social media. Just, I just don't know what they're thinking. Think about this for a minute. Jesus had all knowledge. He had all the solutions. He never made a mistake, yet he never bragged or boasted. How foolish of us. How foolish of us. Like, we got the solution in D.C., right? I bet you get up there, you wouldn't. Yeah, there's some problems, don't get me wrong. You wouldn't fix them. Some good men probably have tried. I think there's some good men up there probably, still up there, there's a few. They're trying. It's not as simple as you think. Yeah. A fool is someone who doesn't have knowledge in a manner, yet both like he does. You might say, well, I'm not a fool because a fool doesn't have knowledge of God. Correct. But you can act like one. Now, you may not be a fool. You may know God. You may have a relationship with God, but you can very well act like a fool. Because a fool is someone who don't know Christ, right? And don't know truth. Well, someone who doesn't practice truth and acting like a fool. Just because you know the word, if you don't practice the word, you're acting like a fool. And when Proverbs all about talking about not boasting and bragging and being Mr. Captain Solution. Well, no, Proverbs, most people, they're not Captain Solution. They're Captain Find the Problem. We're good at finding problems, but are you good at finding solutions? Or being a solution? Anyway. If you're saved, you're right, you're not a fool in a spiritual sense, but you can be a fool in a practical sense. We need to have the attitude that I don't want to act like a fool in any situation in my life. That was Paul's desire. We see the attitude. Now look at the awareness. Here's the awareness. This is what you need to be aware of. Fact number two. Many struggle with foolishness. Let me back up here and say this. You struggle with foolishness. We all do. That's another fact. That's another foolish fact. Now, we all struggle. We've all been going down the road and said, well, I know exactly what they need to do. They ought to hire me. Oh, really? So, 10 engineers, you know, 20 foremen, and you can do the job better? Just you alone? Man, that is amazing. So, I mean, like, I mean, y'all, I mean, I've heard, it's kind of funny. All my friends are Alabama fans, most of them. And they have in the past criticized Nick Saban for his coaching. Really? You can do better than him? How foolish. How foolish. How foolish. Let's look here at the text. The first thing I want to point out here is the sinner. The sinner. Letter A, the sinner struggled with foolishness. Look at verse 18. Seeing that many glory after the flesh. Here's the issue. Paul looks around and he sees many who are glorying. Now, what's happened, in case you've been with us every Sunday, you know that false teachers and they are Judaizers, because we'll see that in the next sermon, because you'll see that he talked about the Jews. He says there, look at, verse 22, are they Hebrew? So am I. So we see here, that gives the indication that the false teachers were Jews and they're Judaizers. And then come in bragging about themselves and boasting and vaunting. And Paul says, seeing that many glory after the flesh. They're boasting. They're bragging. These are sinners. These are people who are not being converted. They are sinners. They're trying to discredit by comparing their outward credentials rather than their message of truth. And then it says there, I will glory also. That's Paul's defense. Paul's not doing it to glorify himself, but to defend the truth. He said, what's the point? The point here, if we see that unsaved people struggle with foolishness. Okay, so just stay with me. You say, what about me? I'm getting to you. Okay, trust me. We're going to get to you. Really quick. These false teachers, they boasted and they knew God, but they didn't. They boasted to have the answer, but they didn't. We'll see here in a minute, we do the same thing. It may not be about spiritual things, but when you go back to the word fool, it can mean natural things. How many times in our lives we boast about knowing when we really don't? I mean, it's so easy. I mean, as a pastor, I've experienced it. I've had people say things, and I'm like, even on a small scale here, it's not as simple as you think. Oh, but you have the answer. No, you don't. They struggled with foolishness. Here's the thing. That's all an unsaved person can do, because they're not saved. Let's be careful that we don't listen to fools. And I'll say this. If you're rejecting God, you are a fool. If you're rejecting salvation freely from Jesus Christ, then you are a fool. Let's move on to the next thing here. The sinner struggles with foolishness, but also the saints. The saint. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road for most of you. Look at verse 19. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourself are wise. They were foolish in their actions. Instead, that you see that first part, for you suffer fools gladly. That means that they bared fools. That means they were in company with foolish people. That's the first sign that you're a fool. I think is it Psalm 1? It says, not sit at the seat of the scorner. You know, separate yourself. My wife says yes, so we'll say, if I'm wrong, Miss Janet, it's her fault. Okay, she said it was Psalm 1. Okay, so thank you. Not even, I think it is, and I think she's right as well. But they were fools, first of all, because they were keeping company with fools. Side note, how many of us do that? How many of us accompany fools in our lives? I said a couple weeks ago about the things we listen to, the things we watch, the things we read, and even your friends. I mean, there's some people I know who I'd love to go hunt and fish with. Not here, but I would never. Because they drink. For me, that's a cutoff. I'm not going to hang out because they're not saved. I was thinking long and hard about going on a trip to the Rocky Mountain to kill, a moose. I like to kill a moose. I don't care about no elk, don't care about no mule. I like to kill a moose. That's just what I like to kill. But if a group of 10 guys comes, hey man, you want to go with us? If they wasn't saved, I don't want to go. I wouldn't want to come to a fool, and neither should you. Even on a daily basis. They were foolish also in their attitude. They're not only not their actions, but also their attitude. So what do you mean? Go back to verse 19. So we see their action. They suffer fools. In verse 19, seeing, here's the attitude. We go from the action to the attitude. Seeing yourself as wise or unwise. That's why if you are acting like a fool, it's because you have an attitude of a fool. And what the attitude? Seeing ye yourself are wise. They thought they were right. They thought they knew it. They couldn't tell them anything. Look at Proverbs 26:12. Didn't you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. This is what's right, not what you think. Does it don't matter how you slice it? This is what's right, not you. And the problem, though, is that sometimes I can't convince you of that. This is what's right. And you can sit around in your own eye, but you're not right. Proverbs 12:15 says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. So what's the point? We see here that the saints, these were believers in the church of Corinth. That's what you got to realize. Just like this church here, they were the church in Corinth of believers who had foolish actions and a foolish attitude to the point that you couldn't tell them anything. Now, I'm not saying that you are the average, but I will say this, that describes the average Christian today. You can't tell them anything. They have decided what they're going to do and not do, and they are wise in their own eyes. Even the Bible won't change them. It can, obviously, because the Bible is powerful and sharp as a two-edged sword. That this tells us, this verse tells us we struggle with being foolishness. Let me say it this way. You struggle with foolishness. Let me say it. You struggle with foolishness. You say, why? What an insult. How do you know? Well, first of all, personally, I know. But because saints in the Bible struggle with foolishness as well. Not only the saints in the church deal with foolishness, but saints throughout the Bible. I'm just going to allude to a few. Abraham. Man, you know how, I'm not trying to be rude, but I would think that if we were going to, rank spirituality, I think Abraham might be a little bit above all of us. A man who would take his son, because he growed, a man who would take his son and willing to kill him for God. Some of us can't even tell him not to go. Some parents can't make the kid go to church. And let him play t-ball and everything else over church. So Abraham, that wasn't Abraham. Abraham, he was foolish. He lied about his wife. He took matters in his own hand when he didn't want to wait on God. David was foolish. He committed adultery. He committed murder. He ran from God. Surely, if he struggled with foolishness, you do too. Solomon was foolish. Basically, he disobeyed God and turned from God. Hey, Peter was foolish. It's easy as saints to think that since we are saved, we have conquered being foolish. Not so. It's easy to think that maybe because you're a little older. I'm 35. I'm older than what I was when I was 20. It's easy to think that. I can see at 20 how foolish I was. But it's really hard to see how foolish I am at 35. It's all and easy to see someone else's foolishness, even your own in the past. But sometimes it's really hard to see it in yourself. That's the whole point in the second point. This point is for you, not for somebody else. It's for you sitting in a seat. But here's the thing. We can be foolish. And here's why. Proverbs 22:15, I want to give you a principle here. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but a rod of correction to drive it far from him. By the way, I'm not a parent, and it's not about parenting. But that's what the Bible says. Ain't it amazing when the more we don't discipline, even as a society, the more fools we have, the more criminals we just do that to? There's something about discipline and even even physical corporate discipline that changes something. You know why I'm not the fool I could be? My mom still thinks I'm a fool most of the time, But you know why I'm not the fool I was? Because my mother and my dad whooped it out of me. I know it's not popular, but it's true. And I may get a phone call, but it's true. That's what the Bible says that. And then we wonder why so many kids act the way they do. Because a lot of them have the rod. Simple as that. Well, my point though, that tells me something. Let me go back to foolishness is found in the heart of a child. Guess what? It's hard to believe this, but what if one time, at a point in your life, you were a child? It's hard for me to see that, but Daryl was a child. Daryl Parker there. It's so long ago. It's been a long time, hasn't it? I've been giving you a hard time. But he was a child one time. So if he was a child one time, you know what that means? That means when he was born, he had foolishness in his heart. Bound up in him. And guess what? He still does. So do I. It's a struggle that until the day we die, because we're born sinning, and although we're saved, if we're saved, we still have sin, we still struggle. We struggle. We're called fooling and bound in us. It's something that we will struggle with more than we like to admit. Be aware. You struggle and are prone to be foolish. When you see it in everyone else, but ourselves, it's not as easy. Like that. And yeah, I know some of y'all come to me and say, you can probably give me a 10-page paper on how I am a fool. That's great. That I'll even take it and read it. But that ain't gonna help you at all. That won't help you at all. If you think I'm perfect, you might as well forget it. Cause I'm not. And neither are you. You change it to you struggle with foolishness. The sinners do, so do the saints. The attitude we are to have, don't be a fool. We see the awareness, fact number two. We all struggle with foolishness. And finally, let's look at the aftermath. Foolishness leads to suffering. You may say, what's the big deal? The big deal is being foolish will cost you. And basically, if you want to know, it's a simplified. I don't want to lose my spot here. Anytime we say, I'm not going to follow the Bible, I'm going to go this way. When you say, no matter how short, how long, no how far, when you say, I'm not going to follow the Bible, it's going to cost you. No matter what area of your life, whether as a husband, whether as a wife, whether as a parent, whether as a co-worker, whether as just a brother, sister, a Christian, anytime you sign, and no matter what part of your life, I'm going to do this, it's going to cost you. That's the aftermath. Because anytime you say this, that's foolishness. That's foolishness. That's you saying, I know better than God. And that's ultimately what a fool is. We see here, the first thing here, letter A, the choice. We've already talked about it. In verse 19. For you suffer fools gladly. At some point, they made a choice to be foolish. And they allow fools to influence them. The church of Corinth, at some point, started letting people who were fools, who didn't believe God, to start influencing them. Okay, that's the choice. We've already talked about all that. But that choice to be foolish led to some consequences. This is the next thing I want to look at here. Letter B, the consequences. In verse 20, here it is. You can see it for yourself. It really wasn't that hard. Actually, it was. I struggled for a little while on this one. To get it the way I liked it. For you suffer right there. That's the aftermath. For you suffer. And have any of you ever done something that you knew wasn't right according to the Bible and you suffered because of it? You know what you did? You struggled with foolishness and gave in and you acted like a fool and then you suffered. For you suffer. If any man bring you into bondage, I think there's five things here. Yeah, there's five things and we'll go over them. But if any man bring you into bondage, number one, that's the first suffering. If any man devour you, that's the second. If any man take you, that's three. If a man exalt himself, four. And if a man smite you on the face, five. There are five suffering. There are five consequences for what they made a choice to allow Judaizers into their lives. And five things. Let me give you an explanation, just a short explanation of them. Enslave means bondage. Okay? This refers to the Judaizers trying to make them be bondage to the law. So what they came into the church and no, it's not Jesus that saves you, it's keeping the law. It's keeping the law. You gotta keep the law. Well, we understand the law is bondage. We're free from that. We don't have, now obviously we still keep the law and the moral law and that's the only one. We don't keep the dietary law and the ceremonial law. We still keep the moral laws of the Old Testament, but we don't have to follow the things that they had to follow. We're free from that. Devoured. This is the idea that they live at the expense of the Corinthians while enriching themselves. When we talked about that last week, Paul, last 2 weeks we talked about how Paul said, I'm not going to get paid. These Judaizers came in and said, all right, I need this X amount of money. Which is why I have a problem with some of these singers. And I'll be honest with you, some of these singers, some of these famous gospel singers, they don't come until you can give them a minimum. And I'm not sure I have a problem. I do have a problem with that, actually. Anyway, that's my personal preference. You know, and some of them, it ain't cheap. But they said, we want to, and they were They were oppressing them financially. That went into the fire. They were killing them financially. Number three, they were taken. The idea that they had, well, John Phillips said this way, bullying them. They were bullying them. They exalted themselves, which means they probably belittled them. A good way to exalt yourself is to make fun of somebody, right? Well, that's what they did. And smite them in the face. They debated. There's some debate here, and it is literally or figuratively. Either way, it means that the treatment would have been especially insulting to them. I take it literally because there's no other reason to not take it literally. But either way, they hit them in the face. They insulted them somehow. That was the consequence of their foolish choice. The aftermath of foolishness, in parentheses, not listening to God, is suffering. You see this principle throughout Proverbs. Proverbs 10:13. The lips of him that has understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Like that. People who don't have understanding of the law, they get put in jail. Why? Because they're a fool. We see that principle all the time. A fool's lip enter into contention, and his mouth calls for strokes. And his fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lip are a snare of his soul. Proverbs 27:3, a stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. Proverbs 1:32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Foolishness leads to suffering. That's the aftermath. There's no other way to slice it. And we can simplify it by this. Like I said, this is wise. Anything else is foolish. And it don't matter if it's a financial thing. It doesn't matter if it's a home, a family issue, a business issue, a personal issue, that this is wise, anything else is foolish, and when you decide to be foolish, it's going to cost you. And most of you can testify to that. I can as well. Which is why we need to hear this today. As we conclude, go back to this. Therefore, since it causes us suffering, we need to have the attitude of what? That I don't want to be a fool. That I don't want to do anything that's foolish. That should be our attitude. But then number two, like I said, if we conclude here, here's the awareness. We all, to make sure that don't happen, we all first got to realize what we really are. We got to realize that we're just sinners, saved by God's grace. If you're saved, you might not be saved. Just because you're sitting here today don't mean you're saved. So when I say that, I don't want you to think, well, I'm saved because he said, no, you might not be saved. I don't know. But if you're saved, you're saved by God's grace, just a sinner that's going to struggle with foolishness until the day you die. We need to be aware of that. We need to realize that. We need to realize our flesh is weak. It's why we need to fortify our mind. We need to renew our mind. That's why we need to flee temptation. That's why we don't need to be unequally yoked. That's all the reason. Because we don't need any help. We don't need any help in this area. We gotta stay ready. We gotta put on the armor of truth each and every day. There's a temptation to struggle. There's a temptation, a struggle, to be a fool. It comes in the form of being tempted not to follow God's word. Here's the thing, don't lie to yourself that you don't struggle. Be honest. Deal with it today. Deal with it. Don't deal with someone else. Deal with you. Because here's the deal. If you don't deal with it, you will suffer. That's what the Bible says. And stand on your feet with the heads bowed and eyes closed. And here in just a minute, I obviously will pray and close, but I want to ask you, hey, have you been foolish? Like, let's go back to my first question. How much of a fool are you? Maybe the reason, you know, everybody's always down and out, right? You know, all life is terrible, and it is sometimes. But let's ask this question. How much of it was your own doings? Have you made some decisions that were foolish, and now you're living with it? Well, don't lie about it. Accept it and change with God's help. Ask him to forgive you. And ask him to help you. Ask him to show grace and mercy. and then take the Bible and put it in front of you, figuratively speaking, and following it each and every day. And when you realize you've been foolish, ask God to forgive you and get back up and put the Bible back in front of you. And keep doing that. What is that? I think there's a verse. I'm not real good at quote verses. A righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. Let's do that. The problem is that we make a mistake. We all sometimes act like fools. We fall down. We suffer. And we're going to sit in a wallow for the next 10 years. No, get back up. Take accountability. Say, hey, that's on me. But I'm not gonna let it keep me from continuing to follow God's word. Let's all strive to be wise today. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you've done. For all that you're going to do. I want to ask you, Father, now just as this word, as your truth has been preached, Lord, I ask you to help us not to be fools. Lord, first of all, if someone here is not saved, I ask you to help them. Lord, to come to a saving knowledge of you, help them, Lord, come talk to me or someone in here who can take the Bible and show them that they are saved through faith, that Jesus died on the cross, and to believe in that for their sins. And Lord, that they can accept you as your Savior. Lord, but Father, as the one here that are saved, Lord, I ask you to help us, Father, to be wise. Help us, Lord, not to reject your word in the day-to-day activities, Lord. Lord, help us to realize that no matter the cause, no matter how hard it is, that the wise thing to do, even when we don't know what to do, is to follow your word. Lord, help us to do that today, Lord. And Lord, help us, Lord, not to be fools. Lord, help us to follow with that today. And thank you for all you've done. In Christ's name, amen.